When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
You know, what keeps me up at night lately isn't horror movies. It's realizing how much of my life is floating around the internet. Addresses, phone numbers, my family members, my personal emails. Data brokers are collecting this stuff and selling it like it's a clearance item. That's why I'm excited to tell you about My Data Removal. They help you remove your personal info from the web, but for real. Not just hiding it, but going after the more than 200 sites and growing where your info might be exposed. They scan, they remove, and they keep you updated every month so you know what's been taken down. Identity theft, unwanted calls, someone getting a hold of your home address and family details. It's not paranoid, it's real. In fact, 1 in 3 Americans has experienced identity theft. It costs time, money, and emotional stress. My Data Removal fights back, so you don't have to. Here's what you do. Head to MyDataRemoval.com. Start with a free scan to see exactly what data about you is floating around. Then let them clean it up. Let them restore your privacy. Protect yourself. Protect your family. Clean up your data with My Data Removal. Visit MyDataRemoval.com now. Your peace of mind is worth it. You know, what keeps me up at night lately isn't horror movies. It's realizing how much of my life is floating around the internet. Addresses, phone numbers, my family members, my personal emails. Data brokers are collecting this stuff and selling it like it's a clearance item. That's why I'm excited to tell you about My Data Removal. They help you remove your personal info from the web, but for real. Not just hiding it, but going after the more than 200 sites and growing where your info might be exposed. They scan, they remove, and they keep you updated every month so you know what's been taken down. Identity theft, unwanted calls, someone getting a hold of your home address and family details. It's not paranoid, it's real. In fact, 1 in 3 Americans has experienced identity theft. It costs time, money, and emotional stress. My Data Removal fights back so you don't have to. Here's what you do. Head to MyDataRemoval.com. Start with a free scan to see exactly what data about you is floating around. Then let them clean it up. Let them restore your privacy. Protect yourself. Protect your family. Clean up your data with My Data Removal. Visit MyDataRemoval.com now. Your peace of mind is worth it.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacy Cole, and Todd Michaels.
So the methodology that self-radicalizes is prevalent. It is there. And when you look at the crowd supporting Luigi Mangione, you can definitely see there's more potential out there for this. And I'm going to be very honest in this. Because of the depth of field I've given this in the last week, I don't have as much objectivity I think we're fine. Because I've been so immersed in nothing but this. It makes it look scary because I'm surrounded in a bubble of this right now. So I don't know how far out that bubble goes.
Sure.
But so here's, I'll go back because as you all know, I am definitely glass half full guy. The shot that was heard around the world, which is this one, has brought so much attention, not just to another shooting, but to the root cause of the shooting. And that's why we're talking about it. And we're not the only ones hopefully going to be talking about this. It's we need to do something. And I'm so sick of people. Oh, it's mental health issue. No, it's yeah. Okay. Yes. Mental health issues, but no one's ever doing anything. They're just labeling it. It's a gun issue. Yeah. Okay. But all these things that we've done before, it's a bad science experiment because nothing we've done has worked. Yeah. And so you really got to think hard in this, of what is the dire root cause of this, because once you can get that going, all else will fall in place again. And so I'm hopeful because I know lots of people that don't fall into this, but I know some that potentially, and I say that word potentially could, but I think, and I talked to my kids about this who are in this age group, and I also do online gaming, but not nearly the extent of these guys. you know, there are a lot of things in place for speech being flagged, for people being aware of these things, for people doing the right things and shutting this kind of thing down. So I know there are definitely things that are going very right with a lot of people, that so it's not just all doom and gloom. You know, yeah. If you go online, it's a horrible place to be. I mean, I was just playing last night. That's completely fine. All age levels. We're talking, you know, my age, lower, higher, all over the place. Yeah. And I was really curious what you're going to expect. And actually, the kindness and generosity towards others is very prevalent. So yeah. I'm hoping that it is a problem. It is a challenge. It's scary because it's not in a sleeper cell. But that's also the positive here. It's not like a secret society we're trying to penetrate.
Yeah.
This is way out there. You know, anyone can join these things and kind of get a deeper understanding of what's going on. And that falls then on law enforcement to do deeper dives and have the resources to do this.
Well, I mean, we can keep catching them, you know, maybe beforehand if we, you know, can figure that out quicker, or after, unfortunately. But that doesn't fix the problem. Right. What needs to change here in society? Because I certainly think we need to get some grip on this. But, the direction that we're seeing thus far, I mean, shutting up comedians is not necessarily going to fix our problem here.
No, I think, like you said, we just have to have people, and everyone can model the way. And it's the Chinese use when it comes to stealing intelligence. You know, they have this philosophy of, we are going to steal the entire beach of sand, one grain at a time. And to think that one little grain that you have is insignificant, by itself, it might feel that way. But when you put it in the hourglass to build an hourglass of a timer, over time, you have a full hourglass. And same thing with anything. So I think it's just people not becoming intolerant of people that aren't curious. Yeah. Just be curious about people who aren't curious. You know, I mean, I think we model the way, and people like us model the way of how we are. I mean, look what we're doing here. We're constantly questioning this. What's this? What's this? Why does this happen? Every time something happens in life, ask yourself, what can we do to understand this deeper from that context? Every time I hear anything, I become so curious about what causes this, what causes this. And challenge yourself to do that. Challenge people around you to do that. So, because the overarching anchors of what we can do as a society, yeah, I think Congress could actually come together and put incentives in place for companies to actually have communication people in place that actually are skilled in the art of the Socratic method, or skilled in the art of recognizing how to have civil discourse and recognizing when it starts going down the path of the dark triad, mandating these. I don't like mandate. I like incentivize. When you incentivize people with tax breaks, when you incentivize schools with more resources, when you incentivize people to take actions that are not only in their best interest, but the best interest of the organization, institution, individuals. And that best action is not just going to reward you monetarily and fiscally for your establishment, but all the people mentally in their brain. I mean, we will create such a mental health paradise, because now we're going to have all the brains around us being rewarded because they're on this path of discovery. And all it takes is people from those two sides I don't even like mentioning coming together and say, all we have to do is incentivize people to be curious everywhere.
Mm-hmm. How do you get them to do that? How do you get them to take that step that it's not just me versus you? How do we get both sides to come together in the middle?
Especially with the younger people. I want to add that into that too, because I'm like, when we're talking about in a corporate setting or something like that, the cookies are already baked. These are adults that have a lot of this has to go back into the recipe. We need to change the recipe of how we're raising these kids and how we're developing these minds and giving them outlets and understanding that to be curious, not to feel like they're so isolated this way or that way. I agree with everything you're saying, but I feel like, okay, great, but let's go back to the original recipe. Otherwise, we're just going to keep putting more toppings on cookies that are already baked.
I don't normally say anything during these sessions, but I want to say something that I experienced in the last couple of years in my life, and that is local involvement in your community.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And especially if you're an adult, get involved in your community to do something good. Work with young students, work with young sports players, athletes. Get involved in some way where you're making a difference in their lives. And all of a sudden you see these kids doing the same thing in their life. they're helping other people. They're getting involved. They're looking for ways to be involved in their community to feed the hungry, help the people that need help out there. Whatever it is that you're interested in, get involved locally, because that's how we change things, is on a local level. And then it kind of spreads out from there. My thought.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
And I'm with you on that, Todd, because all I was going to add on to what Tony's question was in congruence with this is, it, like you said, Tony, it's the grassroots on this is it starts with parents. And it's not about putting labels of what parents are doing right or wrong. I'm hoping that this is a wake-up call, and I don't like it, but fear is the greatest motivator there is of human beings. It motivates us to do everything. It's why our greatest thing that we're always doing is we're always going to take actions in our own best interest in terms of our safety, security, and prosperity, safety being that number one thing. If as a parent today, watching or listening to this, you're afraid of what your kids may or may not do, or the kids around them may or may not do, here's a solution. Be curious with them. That's all you got to start doing. When you model that behavior, kids will do what they're taught to do. They will model behaviors that they model. I am so fortunate that my wife was the one that modeled this behavior in our family as I'm off working and doing crazy stuff around the world and tried to be that dad. I love my, we are so close in a family, but my kids are so good in life and would never entertain things like this because they're so rooted with life reps at that early developmental ages between the ages of 9 and 24 of being curious, of us never saying do as I say because I say,
right,
of saying, hey, here's our rule. Are you curious about what the rule is for? Are you curious about, why we do X, Y, and Z? There was never just because that kills curiosity. It's like, here's the rationale before it. And there was always an interrogation, not interrogation like, tell me, confess. No, interrogation means being actively inquisitive about what it is we're doing, why we're doing it. And just some people agree with it, don't agree. I was all about partnering with my kids. So I was a resource for them on the path that they wanted to choose without judging a path. And if someone or something came into their lives that I felt was unhealthy, I never said, don't see them. You can't do this. You can't do this. I said, help me understand this. Inquisitive. Yep. You told me you want to achieve and do X, Y, and Z. You told me you're trying to do this. Help me understand. Is this helping you or hindering you from what it is you're trying to walk, the path you're trying to walk?
Sure.
It made them think.
Yeah.
Start there.
And it's something that, it's easy to lump it going, well, kids are thinking this way, get off my lawn. But at the same point, it has to, exactly what Todd was saying, it has to be modeled by the older generations as well. And we can be just as caught up in this shit as they are too. I'm isolated. Oh, you're good over there? You're occupied with your device, so I don't have to spend my time worrying about you because you're over here? Okay, great. And, at a restaurant or something, sometimes it's nice. There are places where it's like, okay, they're good for a few moments, I can do it. But unfortunately, that convenience, I think, for a lot of adults and a lot of parents, and I'm guilty of it too, I think every parent is to a certain extent, of relying on this a bit too much and relaxing what we may have to do as our responsibility as parents and as adults to the next generation to help them because, well, they're good over there, I'm good over here. Eventually, we all just go back to what is hitting our own dopamine levels, no matter what age you are or generation you're talking about. It is very much about coming out and being present and being there for that younger generation and demonstrating healthy behavior. I don't think we're doing a lot of that.
No.
Need more. Much, much more.
The acceptance of a lot of things, it turns into kind of an erasure of boundaries sometimes. How does that create chaos and make space for violence like something like this?
What do you mean by that, Tony? It sounds like something I said.
It is. I mean, you had mentioned about that there seems to be an erasure of boundaries society right now, or there has been for quite some time. And then when it goes too far, there is no cause and effect, or people don't even see effect sometimes. It's just cause. It's just the moment. Expand on that a little bit.
So one thing I remember, I have a couple more good friends of mine. One, his name is Joe Navarro, world-renowned nonverbal expert. And one of his other friends that I'm friends with also is Dr. Abby Morano. And I remember we were talking one time on one of the podcasts I was hosting. We were talking about it gets to this point about the emotion of shame. And shame, I have a good friend, another good friend of mine who's an amazing interviewer and interrogator and communicator. And one of the things that you always avoid if you're trying to inspire someone to confess information or you're trying to inspire someone to take action, whether it's influence, persuade, or any of those hooky, spooky, spy things you want to do, is one thing you never want to do is show someone their shame, things they're ashamed of doing, because shame is a powerful motivator, because shame says we're being judged and judged in a negative way. And so it's something you don't want to do if you're trying to make a connection. But I remember Dr. Abby had said this on the show. She had said, but shame is an important thing we have as a species, because without shame means we have no boundaries either. And so I was relating the two when I'm relating to this kind of situation where it's like accepted by this group of people that are in this assassination culture that it's okay to kill someone if you don't agree with them. That really comes down to me, a lack of boundaries of right or wrong, because they don't associate shame with an abhorrent behavior. It's accepted. And so I think this kind of comes down to, again, pure conjecture and theory on this. If you become it sounds so bad. The more accepting you are of everyone, which is one of my huge tenets, non-judgmental validation of human beings. That is a huge tenet of mine. But there is a limit, apparently, that I was unaware of, that if you are so accepting of everyone in their way of life, their way of thinking, that then starts crossing the moral and ethical bounds where that non-judgmentalism is going to affect the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness of someone else. That's the boundary. And so I think that's what boundary I'm talking about here is when you have a lack of boundaries and you're so accepting that morals and ethics and the ability to allow others to live a self and healthy, prosperous life, we do have a limit. And that is the limit of that boundary, is that, hey, you think what you want to think, you believe what you want to do, you do what you want to do with your life and with others, as long as we maintain as a species our moral and ethical boundaries that we're not going to infringe upon the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness of those around us.
Sure.
What a novel concept.
Yeah, that's something.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.